May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Buy low, sell high. That is the advice that any investment professional will tell you. And as we close off our series looking into the prophet Jeremiah, we find Jeremiah at a definite low. Things got as bad in Judah as the Lord had revealed to Jeremiah that they would get. Jeremiah was under arrest in the palace, in the courtyard. And the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar was already laying siege to Jerusalem. And in the midst of all of this hubbub, word gets to Jeremiah that one of his kin is trying to sell off some property, likely trying to make the most of a bad situation considering the realities of military conquest. But it seems that time after time, just when we are at rock bottom, our Lord intervenes. God instructs Jeremiah to take up his kinsman Hanamel's request and to use that purchase of land from him as a sign of God's promise to restore Judah and her fortunes. In real time, of course, that promise would go about 70 years before it was finally fulfilled under the leadership of Ezra and Nehemiah, which to our vestry should sound a little familiar as we've been looking at Nehemiah during our vestry meetings. So if you don't believe that there's a good future for God's people as the center of their faith and culture and government are being sacked as we're reading this morning, well then ask one of our vestry about God's faithfulness under the leadership of Nehemiah and Ezra. Right now we're at the point where they're just building the walls back up in Jerusalem. But the way things stand in Jeremiah's day, there's very little reason for hope. The destruction of the city, the temple, plus the exile of the brightest and best of Judah was on the verge of taking place. Jeremiah himself was going to be thrown into a dry well in the inside courtyard of the palace. Nevertheless, the Lord was telling Jeremiah to conduct business as usual and to speak a word of hope. How in the world could God tell his prophet to do such a thing? How could Jeremiah agree to say a comforting word of promise right when it seemed that all hope was lost? Well, let's look again specifically at what the Lord tells us in Jeremiah, what he tells him to say. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these deeds, both this sealed deed and sealed deed of purchase and this open deed, and put them in an earthenware jar in order that they may last for a long time. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall again be bought in this land. Is this some mockery of the false prophets who before were telling the kings and rulers of Judah not to worry, that everything was going to be all right? Maybe a little. It probably stung the egos of those now desperate leaders in Judah as they were huddling in the palace for protection, smarting over the harsh reality that their unrepented sin was now bringing. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they interpreted Jeremiah's words as just a simple, I told you so. But notice that Jeremiah is instructed to put deeds in an earthenware jar for a long time. This is exactly what you would do to protect important documents back in that day. the Dead Sea Scrolls, which contain some of the earliest copies that we have of much of the Old Testament, were found in exactly those same kind of pottery storage containers. The discoveries there solidified the reliability of the biblical manuscript copies that we already had, which were from later centuries. So that being the case, it's clear that God's goal wasn't just to mock the leaders of Judah. I doubt God would have had Jeremiah make long-term plans to his potential detriment if the Lord were just simply adding insult to injury. He was making a promise for his people's good, for their blessing, for their hope. And Jeremiah himself had faith in the Lord's promise as well, backing his belief with a sizable financial commitment. The Holy One of Israel made a covenant promise that would encourage future descendants of Judah to come back and restore Jerusalem and the temple of the living God. Similarly, Jesus has made us a promise that he would return. Now, I don't want to chase the tangents that too many in American pulpits do, speculating about when Christ will come back, or what condition the world will be in, what possible evils that the rulers who are in this world will be doing, and what kind of bidding of Satan they will be all up to. All of that has very scant reference in Scripture, and none of it is definitive. The only thing we know for sure is that Jesus will come back. God's kingdom will be established on earth as it is in heaven, and that we who believe will be part of the resurrected multitude who will enjoy the fruits of that eternal world. And since our God is a promise-keeping God, it isn't pie-in-the-sky thinking to be encouraged by such a promise. When we see how God made a promise through Jeremiah and kept it, we see the character of a God who is holy, forgiving, and loving. Yes, Judah suffered. Suffering is always the result of sin. But the Lord still promised to restore them because his love for them is undying. When the 20th century theologian Karl Barth was asked the most profound thing he ever encountered when he studied, his reply was this: Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We teach this song to little kids, just like we sent out for Sunday school this morning. And it's one of the songs that I've seen time and again when I go and visit people who happen to have advanced dementia in the nursing home. They light up and they sing with me when I start singing it with them. Our loving Father has made a promise that all things will be restored in heaven and earth through the work of his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. So no matter the difficulty, the ailment, the struggle, the temptation, the loss, Jesus has made a way through it to a perfect end. God promises mercy, and we can take action to show our faith in the Lord's loving promise. Oh, Father Lenny, how can I show my faith right now? Well, remember a few weeks ago when I talked about how you can do deep self-examination? Have you been implementing the plan of action that you came up with through that examination? If not, then revisit that plan. Subdivide it into even smaller steps if you need to, and then get moving, however slowly, in a Christward direction. And let the momentum build as the Holy Spirit energizes you along the way. If you have been following through, great. Keep up the good work. and begin to ask the Spirit what you need to work on next. We are never done growing in faithfulness and holiness on this side of eternity. We are all works in progress. So embrace the process and don't be discouraged. Walk in the grace that our Savior has already given you. If you haven't even made a plan yet, maybe even you haven't even done that work of self-examination, then go back to what Jeremiah implored Judah to do before Jerusalem was under siege. Do the work of self-examination. Read a scripture that outlines some qualities of wholeness and ask the Holy Spirit to show you exactly how you measure up. Ask God to reveal which virtue or aspect of your character that needs the attention the most. Ask for forgiveness for the ways in which you didn't measure up, because none of us ever do. And then prayerfully let the Spirit guide you into coming up with a set of practical steps that you can take to become more obedient to God and less swayed by the world, the flesh, and the devil. And then, as Nike says, just do it. Carry out the plan that the Spirit has been working out in you. Periodically, take your spiritual temperature along the way, and you'll begin to experience spiritual progress, even though none of us reaches perfection on this side of the mortal veil. We have a promise-keeping God who challenges us to be hopeful when the situation seems hopeless. Your family's dysfunction just doesn't seem to change. Your physical health seems like it's on a downward spiral. Your checkbook may be bouncing like a super ball. Your struggle with depression may only seem to just get worse and intensify. You may even feel aimless and clueless as to how God is calling you to serve Him. But no matter the struggle you face, our Savior has your total restoration and eternal good in mind. And He backs that intention with promises that He plans to keep. Take Him at His word. Believe His promise, just like Jeremiah, and test that belief by taking action on it yourself. Let the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ carry you over the finish line to life everlasting. Let us pray. O God, You have prepared for those who love You such good things as surpass our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love towards You, that we, loving You in all things and above all things, may obtain Your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.